Hello, and welcome to the Popmatic Podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Crystal. We're librarians at Nashville Public Library.
This podcast is where you can find reviews and recommendations of the best books, movies, and music available for checkout from the Popular Materials Department of the Nashville Public Library.
You can also learn about library programs such as concerts, film screenings, book clubs, author talks, and book signings.
Just because Halloween is over, that doesn't mean the bloodshed ends here in Popular Materials. Crystal tells us about the sexiest serial killer who lives in the novels of Chelsea Kane. Jeremy gets his geek on with an appreciation of the Battlestar Galactica prequel film, Caprica. We're all geeks here, Geek Mafia. Closing the show, we wax poetic about our favorite film music.
Can't believe you read that.
Hi, this is Crystal, and I'm here to prove to you that I do indeed read. I'm very excited to bring to you my first book review for the podcast. If you're a fan of Thomas Harris's novels or the TV show Criminal Minds, then Chelsea Kane's trilogy of books about female serial killer Gretchen Lowell and the damaged detective Archie Sheridan are definitely for you. Kane has said her inspiration started with the infamous Green River killer, Gary Ridgway. She grew up in Bellingham, Washington, and was 10 years old when the bodies started turning up. When the police finally caught Ridgway, he cut this deal, which is the deal that Kane has her character Gretchen cut in the first book, Heartsick. To avoid the death penalty, Gretchen agrees to tell where to find more of her victims. Gretchen Lowell is a complete babe. The trouble is, she's a psychopathic serial killer. In Heartsick, the reader finds out that Gretchen has posed as a therapist who could help the police deal with the case as well as the stress. While counseling lead detective Archie Sheridan, Gretchen drugs, kidnaps, and proceeds to torture him for 10 days. When Archie is on the brink of death, she turns herself in. Archie's now addicted to Vicodin and can no longer relate to his wife and family. He's psychologically bound to Gretchen and craves the weekly visits with her, where she reveals more of her victims. There's a great supporting cast of characters, including the budding journalist Susan Ward, who changes hair colors often and has father figure issues. And the setting of Portland, Oregon is a nice change from the typical New York or Los Angeles. Book two is called Sweetheart, and the third book, Evil at Heart, just came out this fall. All three books are fast-paced, character-driven, wickedly funny, and, well, quite gruesome. Kane has signed a new book deal with her publisher, so I think we can expect another book or two about Archie, Gretchen, and friends. Kane has already sold the movie rights to Heartsick as well. Check out iHeartGretchenLowell.com for more info.
I can't believe you watched that.
It's hard to talk about Battlestar Galactica prequel Caprica without gushing about its parent series. No matter how hard the show's creators work to differentiate the two, the comparison will always be there. Though intimate knowledge of Galactica, which ended its run earlier this year, isn't required to enjoy Caprica, the majority of viewers will be attracted to this show only because of its pedigree. The question is, will anyone else care? Judging by this 90-minute pilot, I'd say probably. Caprica shows us a world caught between sacred traditions and ever-advancing technology. This tension is embodied in Joseph Adama, played by Isai Morales, and Daniel Greystone, played by Eric Stoltz. Adama is a lawyer working in the service of a powerful crime boss. Greystone is Caprica's version of Steve Jobs if Apple made iPods and killer robots. After both men lose their daughters in a terrorist attack, Greystone enlists Adama to use his crime connections to help steal technology that might reunite them with virtual versions of their loved ones. The ethical and moral issues raised by the use of this technology are touched upon, but as with other themes in the pilot, like race, religion, and politics, were teased with tiny morsels, never a full bite. Caprica lacks the urgency of its predecessor, but the pieces are in place for what could be an interesting series. The trouble is, we'll have to wait until early next year to find out how the story plays out. That's likely to frustrate some potential viewers, but I'm still interested. But maybe I'm just looking for a substitute for Galactica, like getting a Pepsi when I really want a Coke. The look, flavor, and even the ingredients may be similar, but the difference is crucial.
I can't believe you listened to that.
Hello, this is Chamberlain, Bill Chamberlain, and I'm going to talk about Bond, James Bond, or to be more precise, the man who used to write the movie scores to the Bond films, Barry, John Barry. John Barry has written many scores to motion pictures, Midnight Cowboy, King Grant, Somewhere in Time, Jagged Edge, and Mary, Queen of Scots. Not to mention his four scores that won well-deserved Academy Awards, Born Free, The Lion in Winter, Out of Africa, and Dances with Wolves. Not to mention 11 James Bond films, which brings me to the soundtrack I want to recommend, The Best of James Bond, 30th Anniversary Limited Edition. It's a fun double CD. You get all the Bond songs up to License to Kill on CD1, and on CD2 you get music scores from several of the Bond movies performed by the John Barry Orchestra. John Barry's music has always held a special place in my heart. I'm an avid soundtrack collector, and the first soundtrack I ever bought was from Diamonds Are Forever. But I want to share with you today is a song that comes from On Her Majesty's Secret Service. It's called We Have All the Time in the World. The haunting music by John Barry, lyrics by Hal David, and sung by the late, great Louis Armstrong.
We have all the time in the world. Time enough for life to unfold all the precious things love has in store. We have all the love in the world.
Brian, what are you listening to?
I'm not a huge Vangelis fan. He always seems to rip off cheesy melodies and play them on his expensive synthesizers and then demand he be recognized as a genius. Bill just told me he doesn't like to get his picture taken. Lucky for us, this artificiality pays off in Blade Runner. Ridley Scott's sci-fi masterpiece is all air pollution and neon. The line between the real and the false is as blurred in the plot as much as it is in the sentiment of Vangelis' score. The track Memories of Green uses the beeping of a heart monitor as its rhythmic center. This is the music we hear as Decker, who may or may not be an android, daydreams about unicorns while browsing through what may or may not be his family photographs. Only humans have hearts, get it? The score abandons such miniaturisms and goes big when appropriate, like the end titles, which out Kraftwerk's Kraftwerk and catapults us into the pilot seat of a hovercraft. The library owns the Blade Runner soundtrack proper, which contains fun bits of dialogue and diegetic music from the movie. We also own the Vangelis compilation Themes, which collects his most popular film music. Three tracks from Blade Runner are on Themes, including the ones I've talked about. With Themes, you can also get a taste of Vangelis' work, including his most recognizable piece, the Oscar-winning theme from Chariots of Fire. Amanda's going to hit it with her best shot.
Thanks,
give a soundtrack, old-fashioned soundtrack.
Do you guys ever wish that you could make a movie about your life? I've never really wanted to, but Gurinder Chadha must have. She directed the autobiographical Bend It Like Beckham, starring Keira Knightley and Parminder Nagra. Since the events of her life provided the movie's core, Chadha decided to use her personal music collection when compiling the soundtrack. The tracks mix together both Western pop and Indian music, which, as Chadha puts it, makes up the many different sides of me, and therefore my lead character Jess and her world. Take a listen to this track from the artist B21.
So, Crystal, what movie are you listening to?
My favorite soundtrack is to the Rock-U mockumentary This Is Spinal Tap, about a fictional British heavy metal band called Spinal Tap. For those who haven't seen the film, it is an hilarious spoof and satire of the rock and roll scene. Interesting factoid? Spinal Tap drummers seem to die in strange circumstances, such as bizarre gardening accidents and spontaneous human combustion. Stars Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer have played concerts and released music under the Spinal Tap name, with tour dates as recent as 2009. You've been listening to Nashville Public Library's Pop-Matic podcast. For more information, please visit www.library.nashville.org.
That's on the interwebs.
Hello.
Check.
Check.
In the mail.
Mike.